And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are hosting a Lutheran International Disaster Response Conference from September the 23rd to the 26th at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, USA. The conference theme focuses on standing together in time of disaster. Experienced disaster responders will be offering important ministry insights gained while in the midst of actual disasters. Speakers will tell of the Chilean earthquake and Hurricane Sandy, for example. Pastor John Ehlers, chairman of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, will be representing the LCE. On the subject of important meetings, a reminder that the ELCE's 60th annual synod takes place at St. Andrews on Ruislip on October the 4th and 5th. Please try to visit and support this important gathering of pastors and laymen and women as they deal with both the business and plans for the ELCE's future ministry. Middle East Christian leaders called on Muslim governments and religious authorities on Tuesday to condemn Islamic State for its assault on minority religious communities and to take the lead in efforts to destroy its power in Iraq and Syria. They told a news conference that the reaction so far from Arab countries had been timid to the militant group's killings and expulsion of hundreds of thousands of Christians in massacres against all religious and ethnic minorities. The situation of Christians and other minorities amidst the massacres and atrocities of Islamic State is dire, and our future in the region is at stake, said Patriarch Ignace III of the Syrian Catholic Church of Antioch. The leaders of Arab countries and the Arab League have to stand up and do something. Patriarch Saker I of the Chaldean Catholic Church said in Iraq, over 10,000 Christians who have had large communities in the Middle East for some 2,000 years in Iraq have been killed by the militants and some 170,000 expelled from the north. In areas under Islamic State control in Syria, around 500,000 Christians have been forced to flee areas where they had long lived at peace with their Muslim neighbours. We are calling on the religious leaders of the Muslim countries to issue a fatwa, religious edict, against the killing of any human being, not just other Muslims, said Patriarch Seiko. So far, their voice has been very timid. A parallel statement from the two patriarchs and six other church leaders, including Greek Orthodox and Coptic prelates, said the ideology of Islamic State was against human rights and was a threat to society in the Middle East and across the world. If not strongly condemned and effectively destroyed, then this ideology will damage the entire system of human rights, the group said. The top priority was to defeat Islamic State and to do away with its murderous policies. The two leaders told the news conference called by the Vatican Mission to the United Nations in Geneva that they were nervous about the US bombing campaign against Islamic State, saying it could boost Arab popular support for the militants. It needs boots on the ground. Just bombing is no solution, said Patriarch Seiko. But these perhaps should be Arab boots. The Arab League should be involved. This is primarily the responsibility of the Arab states. Meantime, powerful Al-Qaeda branches in Yemen and North Africa issued an unprecedented joint statement on Tuesday calling for jihadists in Iraq and Syria to unite against a common threat from a US-led coalition. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb urged their brothers in Iraq and Syria to stop killing each other and unite against the American campaign and its evil coalition that threatens us all. AQAP and AQIM also called on the people of 10 Arab countries that have joined the coalition against the Islamic State group to prevent their governments from acting against IS, and it's promised dark days to the alliance of infidelity and evil. Al-Qaeda's leadership under Ayman al-Zawahiri, the Egyptian-born successor to group founder Osama bin Laden, has disavowed IS, which has seized swathes of Iraq and Syria, and has its own branch, al-Nusra Front, fighting in Syria. But the joint statement released on two jihadist Twitter accounts called for differences to be set aside in the face of the growing coalition. Make the unity of the infidel nations against you a reason for your unity against them, he said, accusing Washington of leading a crusader campaign against Islam and all Muslims. Stop the infighting between you and stand as one against America's campaign, he added. Last week, US Secretary of State John Kerry was given commitments from Bahrain, Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates to join the fight against IS. Meantime, Kurdish Peshmerga forces on Tuesday recaptured 7 Christian villages in northern Iraq in clashes with Islamic State jihadists, an officer and a cleric said. Tens of thousands of Iraqi Christians, most of them Chaldeans, fled their homes when IS militants launched a renewed drive in the north in early August. Iraq's largest Christian town, Karakosh, and dozens of other villages were all but emptied in what Christian leaders described as the worst disaster for the minority in centuries. On Tuesday, Peshmerga forces ousted IS militants from 7 villages west of the Kurdish capital Erbil during fighting in which rockets and mortar rounds were used, a senior officer said. We liberated those villages with the support of US aircraft, Major Sada Ali said, referring to the Nineveh Plains area between Erbil and Mosul, the main IS hub in Iraq. The United States, whose air force has been targeting IS jihadists in the area since early August, has yet to confirm it carried out the latest reported strikes. The officer said many of the homes were booby-trapped by the jihadists before they retreated. The Peshmerga, the main security forces of the autonomous Kurdish region of northern Iraq, are receiving arms and ammunition from countries including the United States and France. A source in the Catholic Chaldean Church told AFP that Kurdish forces had made progress Tuesday. The Peshmerga managed to liberate several villages. IS militants have now fled from there, the cleric said, on condition of anonymity. The villages were important because of their location close to the towns of Bartala and Karakosh, he added. IS jihadist fighters on June the 9th launched an offensive that saw them seize the second city of Mosul and sweep through much of Iraq's Sunni heartland in a matter of days. A trio of thieves got less than they might have bargained for after robbing a man who turned out to be the Archbishop of Rio de Janeiro. The robbers realized the victim was Archbishop Arani Tempesta after they stopped his car and demanded he and his fellow passengers hand over their valuables. The three took Tempesta's episcopal ring and chain, replete with crucifix, during the theft in Rio's tropical but isolated Sumaya district. But they left both items in the road on fleeing the scene, either moved to repent on seeing who they'd attacked, or else upon finding Tempesta's symbols of office were metal and not made of gold, his spokesman told AFP. Tempesta had just come from giving mass at the secluded Samar residence where Pope Francis stayed during a visit in July last year. He did not come to any harm, there were just some items stolen, and police have recovered most from the roadside where the robbers threw them as they fled, Tempesta's spokesman said. Had the armed thieves hoped for a golden windfall, they would have been disappointed, he added. The items were not gold, they were made of metal and are of no value. The spokesman said Tempesta 64 did not wish to comment, as what happened could have happened to anyone. British councils are increasingly being swamped with requests for paupers' funerals due to the alarming rising costs of even the most budget burial or cremation. The largest ever industry study revealed that in 10 years from 2003 to 2013, costs have risen a staggering 80% and will increase even faster this year. The Sun Life Research found the average cost of dying in the UK in 2013 was £7,622, a staggering increase of 7.1% from the previous year. It's estimated this year alone 100,000 people will struggle to pay the costs associated with funeral planning, mainly due to rising local authority fees for burials and cremations. Sun Life experts said the worryingly high cost of UK funerals means growing numbers are turning to local authorities for public health funerals, dubbed paupers' funerals. David Sinclair, Assistant Director of Industry Think Tank the International Longevity Centre, said up to 1 in 10 of our oldest citizens have a total net wealth of £3,000 or less. Many older people worry a lot about their funeral arrangements. It is vital that the government support for the poorest and most vulnerable is adequate and does not contribute to more stress and hassle for older people and their families. Mike Dixon, Assistant Chief Executive of Citizens Advice, said, as incomes are squeezed, many people are getting into debt and finding it impossible to put anything aside for a rainy day. Our work with hundreds of thousands of people has shown us that there cannot be a one-size-fits-all solution for households' financial needs, particularly around the cost of dying. Sean Powell of Charity Down to Earth, Quaker Social Action, said, We see, through the use of food banks and unpaid utility bills, that our clients have nothing in reserve when faced with the cost of the funeral. The emotional and financial consequences can be devastating. For this reason, a review of the state safety net of funeral support for those on low incomes is vital. Charitable groups said partly to blame was the cap on the social fund funeral payment, money paid by the government to funeral directors to pay for low-income families' funerals. The payment, which was £700 in 2003 by Labour, has not even risen in line with inflation since, resulting in recent years to increase debts among funeral firms who struggle to cover their costs. Their exhaustive research, two surveys and three commissioned studies, were jointly carried out by Mintel Research Consultancy, Trajectory Partnership and University of Bath. It found that since 2007, prices for burials, excluding funeral directors' costs, have almost tripled compared to the retail price index, while crematoria prices have doubled and will continue to rise. At the same time, the shortage of burial spaces continues, creating issues for cemetery sustainability. Meanwhile, church fees jumped by 30% this year, and the coroner's office are proposing to introduce death certification to all in 2014, not just cremations. This will add a further fee to the cost of a burial, which already on average is £1,000 more expensive than a cremation. And finally, a Utah author says a school teacher plagiarized her Christian romance novel, adding graphic sex scenes, and passed it off as her own. Rachel Ann Noons, author of A Bid for Love, filed a federal lawsuit in August against Tiffany Rushton, a third-grade teacher in Layton, who wrote an electronic book called The Auction Deal. Both are about competing art dealers who fall in love. Noons says Rushton copied her characters and plot, as well as some lines in the work, but added sex to appeal to a more mainstream audience. She is seeking £92,000 in damages.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.